You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
I should have gone with the original title of this film. Nicholas Sparks, A Space Hotel.
I thought it was, hey, I unfroze you, so you're my girlfriend now.
Yeah, it's very barbarian for a futuristic movie, isn't it? Gosh.
Yeah, it is a little on the barbaric side.
Yeah.
We're talking about Passengers, the great Christmas Hope from Columbia Pictures.
Which was, it's not a sequel to Prometheus, but it is like chapter two in the grand tradition of stupid people in space.
Oh my God.
They're not having a good year at that studio.
Yeah, this is like, hey, did gravity just feel too smart for you across the board? Well, then maybe you need Passengers, where we really dumb it down. The story here follows the Starship Avalon, which is a cross-planet, long-distance transport ship for people to colonize new planets.
It's a sleeper ship, so yeah. Everybody in it, it's running on autopilot. Everybody in it, including the crew, they've been put into suspended animation, which apparently only people on Earth know how to make that happen.
Yeah, and then something goes wrong, and Chris Pratt wakes up. He's fortunately a mechanical engineer.
But how lucky is he?
Well, yeah, quote unquote, he's a mechanic.
Yeah, he's a mechanic.
You know, he's more mechanic than engineer.
And he's like, what the fuck? Why isn't everybody awake? Fortunately for him, the ship is basically like if the Apple Store decided to manufacture luxury hotel. There's every amenity except hookers.
This is really
the idea.
I mean,
been planted now.
It's this idea that colonization would become like some kind of boutique industry, which is not how that will ever fucking work. No.
Well, I mean, they set it up so that, like, it's like there's various tiers of people like that have different things they can do on there, and that they all wake up. I forget what they said, like a month or two before
they wake up. The passengers,
four months.
Up 4 months beforehand,
so they can
acclimate and get to meet the people that they're going to be working with.
Yeah.
There is this idea though that like, oh well, it's like the Titanic. They have, you know, specialty, you know, ultra-class members that are in luxury suites, and then they have people that are just in, you know, shit-fuck compartments.
Yeah,
which
of course
is just
they
like,
get to eat gruel.
Yeah, it's like, no, that's how tourism works. That's not how people who go colonize planets fucking act.
Probably not.
Ever.
Well, you know, you'd think they would treat everybody the same.
Yeah. My favorite part is they're like, is they, you know, there's this one moment where they try to make it, you know, on topic economically, and they have Jennifer Lawrence characters talking about like, oh well, this company who's doing this kind of screws people by like charging them a lot, and then they take 20% of your income for the rest of your life. And I'm like, how are they getting that income back to Earth? Out of curiosity,
Well, one of them,
considering an email takes 30 years to go back.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, are they sending it by Wells Fargo faster than light?
It's gonna work like gangs.
In the future, they go back to AOL. So that's what takes so long.
Exactly, and there are lots. There's so many little things there.
Before we get too much into the specifics, let me go back into the plot, because after like a year and some change, he's like, I'm losing my fucking mind. There is no one on the ship except a robotic and bartender played by Michael Sheen, who has limited capacity for deeper thought on things.
Yeah, manages to be annoying in every single moment.
Well, it speaks a lot that everybody in this fucking movie speaks in cliches, that it makes his platitudes, which are straight out of Bartender 101, seem actually meaningful.
Right, that's true. But finally, after fighting with himself for months, he decides he is going to wake up another passenger, Jennifer Lawrence, who he has creepily fallen in love with her sleeping body.
Yes, he's fallen in love with, and by that we mean he stalked her.
He looked up everything about her, and she's a writer, so she's got lots of stuff out there. And
coincidentally, she looks like Jennifer fucking Lawrence.
Yeah, so. he didn't pick the fat Asian dude in Bump 32.
I just need someone to talk to who looks like Jennifer Lawrence.
She's average. She's ordinary.
Right there, I go, like, right there is my first major problem, where I go, what you can see on the things, it shows what everybody's job is. And yeah. you're like, well, I don't, you know, you're not going to wake up a bunch of people because then they're probably doomed to stay awake like you are. And you wake up just a writer? You wouldn't go look for, like, a computer scientist?
Or maybe something. Yeah. Because he spends the better part of the year, you know, like, well, the first half anyway, trying to get himself back into cybersleep. And apparently there's no way to do this because, oh, the pods never fail. Which is like, okay, like, that's your, you know, we don't need a failsafe because nothing will go wrong, said the captain of the Titanic.
Well, but, it is kind of like that. Like, everything is designed around the idea that nothing can go wrong. Right. So there's no way in case something does
go. Yeah, and they're a little, they're, once again, we're going to make this kind of socially conscious. As they're like, oh, well, the problem is that was proprietary. That's you know, IP of the company that's doing this. And so, you know, they can't let just anyone learn how to do it. So, but he tries to get himself back into sleep, and he realizes that, well, if there is a way to do this, I don't have the skills to find it out, and B, I'm going to die while we're on the road here, because it's another 88 years, you know, he's 30, so.
And once again,
yeah.
A writer. With every 5,000 people
but
on that
a
trip.
Really pretty writer.
A really, yeah, his nose and nose. And
he's like,
just be cynically honest, he just wanted to get laid.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, I fell in love with her writing, and then they make the mistake of reading her stuff out loud.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, no, no one would fall in love with that, because the person who's writing is the same person who's writing this cliched bullshit.
And that's the thing, is this movie hits. I mean, there's nothing about this isn't completely telegraphed except for the ending, if only because you're like, there's no fucking way that would work.
No, right, yeah.
You're like, why? What possible? How stupid?
But
well,
we just
are.
Want them to end it by that point.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's
so we'll
true.
It.
I was looking at my watch so often.
Yes,
this,
me too. Because, every 5 minutes.
Yeah, because you know what's coming. You're just like, get it over with. And, like, you know, even the basic bit of, you know, the moral ambiguity that you're supposed to go like, oh, well, that's an interesting take, is Chris Pratt waking up Jennifer Lawrence to keep himself company, you know, or to be his, you know, creeper girlfriend, what have you. But the... You know, they show him a year into it, and then they have him wake her up, and you're seeing him do all this, where it's just like... Dude, do you not know Dramatics 101? No, she wakes up first and meets him, and then you find out that he's, and that's a reveal, and that makes it meaningful, and like, you've rooted for these guys. The way that they do it, you're just like, dude, every time you're doing something, you know, meet cute with this girl, like, you know,
it's,
swimming
it's,
in the Staratorium,
it's,
yeah, it's yes. It's gross as shit.
I don't feel sorry for you at all.
And the only reason it's there at all is to have that Nicholas Sparks inevitable moment, which you know has to come when eventually she realizes, I didn't wake up by accident like he did, he woke me up, which is just... manufactured drama waiting to happen that ruins anything you might like between those two moments.
The way in which she finds out, there's never really any explanation for the motivations of who it was that revealed that she was woken up. Like, what reason did he have to do that? It's completely nonsensical.
Yeah. And it could have just as easily, and would have made a much more interesting film if, A, they'd focused on the last 20 minutes, which is the idea, like, wait, what woke you up anyway? The ship is going through a series of failures that, of course, are going to be critical unless they do something about it. More the movie should have been about fixing that than just like, oh, you just turned this?
and not only that, I
take
mean,
this
you know,
out,
they,
put it back in.
They could have even been like, and that's how the movie's kind of sold in its previews, is like, oh, they both wake up at the same time.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, now I don't have to deal with any of this creepy bullshit.
Like, even where, like, he doesn't wake her up, but she does wake up a bit later.
Right.
That would have been fine, because then there was, like, you'd like, oh, thank God.
There are so many ways to do this, and they do it in a way that makes, you know, him seem... you know, unsympathetic and weird, and then by virtue of the fact that she does end up falling back in love with him, spoiler, you're just like, well, now I don't know how I feel about
you. There's no reason to go see the movie now that you spoiled it. Jeez.
I mean, I hate to say it, but that is largely the plot as it is, and that's sad that this movie, with this big budget that looks as pretty as it does, that's all it's really got. I mean, the first 20 minutes, you're kind of like, as you see all the new rooms of the ship, you're like, oh, that's cool. That's pretty cool. But then you just keep seeing those rooms again.
Yeah. Oh, back
of the
in
movie.
This room again.
And it has an inherent challenge in that it's just the two of them throughout 99% of this movie. And Is it just me, or did Chris Pratt just completely act circles around Jennifer Lawrence? Like, I
don't know. They both seem mildly disinterested.
Yeah, they both seem on the same level for
during
me.
During the highest tense moments, I just didn't think she pulled it off at all. It just made me wonder, like, is she a good actress or not?
Somebody said one time, I can't remember who it was, but it was, I can't remember if it was like an actor or a director, but they said it's got to be the script, and sometimes the script can be the difference between good acting and bad acting. This is such a textbook example of that.
You can't fault anybody for dialing in the script, because there's really nothing to sink your teeth into, and it sucks because you have two of the most personable actors in the business doing
very
this.
Charismatic people.
You have, you know, great special effects values, not, you know, everything worked out well there.
Amazing.
The premise could have been absolutely amazing. And
two people trapped in a spaceship. Go.
And then they turn into, you know, a crappy romantic drama, and it just never fires.
Yeah, there's just, like you said, there's nothing to sink your teeth into. There's no meat to this thing at all. Mm-hmm. It's all as hollow as my joke earlier, like an Apple store. It's all pretty, but it's spare, and there's nothing really there. Mm-hmm. It's all design. It's no substance. Yeah. There's no way you can't predict everything that's going on, and it's just a matter of patiently waiting for it to play out. And yeah, you're like, oh, by the end, you just kind of feel nauseous that you're like, you guys, yes, you did. It's not like you didn't just wrote off, yeah, he woke her up or whatever. You dealt with it at length, but not really appropriately so. Yeah. You know,
they danced around it for a long time.
They danced around it for a long time, that of which we're supposed to be enjoying it and getting into their romance.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't enjoy this. How are we supposed to possibly enjoy this? You even knew exactly how she would find out. That's how telegraphed this is.
Yeah.
You're like, you know immediately how she's going to find out. You're like, all right. And this is by Morten Tydem, who is a director. Tildum, who's a director who I expected a fuckload more from, who directed the phenomenal film Headhunters in 2011. Such a great movie. And then The Imitation Game, another movie I really loved. He was nominated for Best Director.
Well, the other interesting thing about this one is that this was a script that was on the blacklist for a long time. And so it never really got made. Until I guess you attach Chris Pratt. And
wait, did a communist write it? Or?
Yeah, I've never understood that. Why is the black something only good, like, in terms of scripts and not for anything else? Like, if you're on a blacklist and by, you know, anything else, you're a communist, you're whatever.
Yeah, generally, but if somebody says in an Eastern European accent, you are on blacklist, nothing good is going to come of that.
That's not good. Never understood that. And this is also written by John Spates, who is the guy who ostensibly wrote Doctor Strange. And he didn't.
Looking at the poster, that poster reminds me a lot of the poster for Rules Don't Apply, minus Warren Beatty in the center there. Mm-hmm. I mean, they can't even get an original poster for this thing.
Well, there are no original posters.
That's an industry-wide plague right now.
Yeah,
it's a
marketing problem.
It's like, it's not complicated enough to call it a mess, because it's not complicated at all. It's dirt simple, and I think, you know, like, your relatives who just want to see a movie at Christmas and they've already seen Rogue One and they want to see something that is, you know, they don't have to think too much about and grandma can cry. Sure, they're going to like this. But it's marketed towards sci-fi fans, and sci-fi fans are the ones who are going to hate this.
Yes, because we know how nuclear reactors work.
All right, let's go to final thoughts. JC.
I'd heard a lot of negative things about this going in. It's definitely bad. I think it's the harmless kind of bad that doesn't make me really kind of hate this. It's dumb and silly. There are a lot of other things you could see that follow a similar type premise, or at least tackle the science better and more intelligently. It's a harmless kind of bad, which, I mean, I don't know, to some that might be a huge negative. For others, it might make it worth checking out. I felt like the first two acts were pretty good, because if you like Chris Pratt, he's doing the things that he normally does. He's fairly likable up until he does the deplorable thing of you know, unthawing and essentially
almost literally murdering somebody.
I did like that she tackled that. She's like, this is murder.
Yeah.
I thought that was a little hyperbolic personally.
Yeah, I did.
It's like, no, it's not. It's the ultimate dick move.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't go so far as to call it murder.
But, and then bad news if you're a Jennifer Lawrence fan. I didn't like her in this at all.
Even though the movie's in love with the curve of the swell of her breast, it takes every really opportunity to show.
Oh yeah, no. And to be fair, Chris Pratt is showing off a lot of curves.
True.
Yeah. You know, there's plenty of eye candy.
Yeah,
there's
Matthew McConaughey movie levels of shirt off to the fail star.
Absolutely.
So.
But in the end, I mean, this is kind of one of those, like, when it comes out at home video, if you like, this is kind of one of those movies you can pop in if you like really want to show off how awesome your TV looks and sounds.
You're reaching, man.
I know. I was going to say airplane mode, but okay.
Yeah.
This movie didn't actually kill anyone.
Yeah. But yeah, I would give it 4 out of 10 shots of Chris Pratt's butt.
Boat.
Yeah, no, this isn't the kind of movie, you know, like, you know, I can't even think of it, like, you know, the movies that you really like to hate, like an Adam Sandler movie. This isn't a love to hate movie, or even a, like, how dare you fucking make this movie. This is a, my kid showed me his art project, and I looked at him square in the eye and said, I'm disappointed in you, and I know you can do better. Go back to your room. Type of movie. It's just that, yeah, there's so much here to work with, and, you know, everybody kind of half-assed everything, and including the performances. There's, you know, there's nothing horrible about anything. It's just like, really? That's all I get? You could have made something really awesome here, and, you know, you make kind of a shitty hamburger. And, you know, okay, fine, but I like good hamburgers, not shitty ones. So, yeah, with all that this is given to work with and all that it does not accomplish, I got to give it 3 out of 10 malfunctioning Roombas.
Right?
You know, I was thinking when I was watching this movie about an interview that the author John Gregory Dunn did with Charlie Rose one time. He was talking about a 7-year process of where him and his wife were hired to adapt for Jeffrey Katzenberg, the life of Jessica Savage, a tragic newscaster that died. And after 7 years of rewrites, he asked, what's this movie about? Is it a love story? Is it a movie about journalism? And it ended up being the movie called Up Close and Personal with Robert Redford and Michelle Pfeiffer. And Jeffrey Katzenberg answered back, duh, it's a film about two movie stars. And that's what this movie is. It's a film about two movie stars. It's a vehicle for them. It's playing to their fans. But I think even their even the most diehard fans will have trouble embracing this. It is just trite and cliche from day one, or from, you know, step one. And even the effects are sort of uninspired, except for the shot of Jennifer Lawrence trapped in a floating pool.
That was actually pretty cool.
Yeah, that was actually really impressive, and I did like that. Unfortunately, there's nothing else much to like. This feels, though, like one of those movies that in a few years people will try to justify endlessly on blogs, much like, I don't know, some really shitty movie that I can't think of right now.
But there are quite a few.
There are a few. But overall, nothing here. Nothing here. And it's a shame. I have to give this, because I'm going to a holiday party after this, 3 out of 10 neat whiskeys.
Yeah, I was talking to Frank right when we came out, and I was like, if there was like a scale of like science fiction this year, like Arrival would be all the way at one end, and this would be all the way at the other, and just of how different types of sci-fi movies there are. This one, where is sci-fi only by necessity of something, a new place to set Nicholas Sparks' characters in we haven't seen yet. You know, I'm seriously shocked Sparks didn't write this. It felt that trite at points.
But yeah, this would be his movie of the year. This would be his number one movie of the year.
It's just that sort of thing. And yeah, it's pretty. There's no denying that. And its stars are real pretty. And it's a movie that's kind of in love with itself, and yet there's nothing really there to love. It's so shallow. It's so hollow. There's just not much there. It's so simplistic, and just, you know, it's weird because there's stuff that, like, okay, that's dumb, but whatever. But then, like I said, once again, when you get to the conclusion, it makes a decision that's so outrageously dumb that I was like, okay, you literally lost like a star and a half right there, just by, like, at least before I was like, well, it's inoffensive, but whatever. And then I'm like, okay, now you're just assuming your audiences are all incredibly stupid. This is no deeper than a Hallmark card. I give it 3 out of 10 incredibly well-made spacesuits.
Yes.
That makes kissing really horrible. They take care of the tourists in at least one way.
So that's the other, you know, this is a future in which anybody can just become an astronaut.
Yeah. Yes.
Just do it. It's fine.
You're safe. What could be wrong?
You don't have to fill out 8,000 insurance forms first.
You don't press a button.
You're going to give us 20% of your income for the rest of your life, and there's no way for you to get it to us. What are you going to do? Sue us?
I think there's a problem with our business plan.